Poison Rana.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking these things as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next, postwrestling.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever podcast app you're using. And we are live.
We are live on youtube.com/postwrestling. Hello, postmarks. Hello, post-universe.
Hello. Yeah, we're going to talk about some NXT tonight. We're your NXT friends, and we'll always be your NXT friends. But some news coming out right before NXT going off the air again. We're definitely two weeks in a row now of just some news.
Not enjoying Tuesdays.
This week with some more real serious news. Tony Khan tweeting out the unfortunate news of the passing of Jay Briscoe.
Mm.
Yeah. Jay Briscoe from the Briscoe Brothers from Ring of Honor. Really tragic. Then Dave Meltzer kind of tweeting and reporting that it was due to an car accident in somewhere in Maryland. So, yeah, this is just put us both in just this real somber mood watching NXT here tonight. But
yeah, it was like really hard to kind of actually pay attention to NXT tonight when something as awful of this as this has broken out. Briscoe's obviously, like everyone, like I feel like I've been watching these guys for years and years, and obviously in the last year having a bit of real resurgence with that FTR thing, which was so recent. We were just talking about it a couple of weeks ago in our best matches of the year. A real shocker. It seems like there were other people in the car as well, so don't quite know what's happened there, but just obviously sending the best. And yeah, like it sucked watching NXT tonight. Like it really couldn't focus, and it's awful. Like it's a tragedy, complete tragedy.
Yeah, we're both huge fans of this guy particularly. I mean, obviously the Briscoe Brothers, Ring of Honor, you just mentioned, they've done these matches in the past little while that gotten like so much rave reviews and people just like reigniting the love for like tag team wrestling again. They've been doing it for like 20 years over there, and Ring of Honor like running, they were the team, and it's
like
this is,
everyone in the industry right now would have probably either worked with them at some point or watched them and like got into wrestling watching them, you know?
Yeah, it's super sad. We do shows where we talk about wrestling week by week and do so many different things. And this is a person where wrestling definitely blends real life and all that stuff with fiction and the whole art form and all that stuff. But like, this is a person that for years has been in, you know, our households or we've watched from afar, you know, just on TV or at live shows. I've seen this guy
just down the road.
Yeah. You know, like I've seen this guy wrestle live like more than a handful of times than I can count. And just, it's kind of sad. And you kind of know the stories of a little bit behind the scenes that he's a huge family guy and all about that. So you just hope, the family is going to do okay. And, go to I'm sure they have a PWT store. Go buy their t-shirts, Ring of Honor t-shirts, whatever it is. They're things you can't do to support the families there, but, super, super sad and just so hot off of like what was a crazy year for them. I think,
absolutely. I mean, they were most people's match of the year. Like they had three match of the year contenders last
year.
You
how
know?
Crazy.
Like it's you could put them as 1, 2, 3. Like the whole story with them not really being able to appear on AEW TV because of comments made years ago that I mean you're looking at all the tweets coming out, like Effie posting in support. Yeah.
WWE mentioning it on the show here tonight on
which
NXT.
Is super rare for someone who's never worked. I mean, maybe a dark match, Velocity or something way back when, but never really worked for the company, for WWE to acknowledge that tonight. Like this one, and again, like news breaking during a broadcast. I'm sure, I mean, I can't think of many NXT wrestlers that would have like necessarily worked with him on tonight's show, but yeah, it must have rocked the locker room.
Absolutely.
Well. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow's show is being changed in some way on Dynamite. I mean, expect a bunch of tributes moving forward.
Yeah.
But yeah, real awful.
Reach for the sky, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. I can't, ever since I got into like, you know, pro wrestling, and then I got Ring of Honor like back in the day, like I've watched him and Mark Briscoe tear it up, and then finally started to go to like when I was old enough to start to go to these Ring of Honor shows. Like, man, they were like awesome. He had his ROH world title run, which is also like he had some sweet matches in that run as well, but just super sad. So all the love to the Briscoe family there, and would love to hear some of your favorite Briscoe boys moments and Jay Briscoe moments.
I mean, you've got, if you want to celebrate someone's life by just going through their work, I know we do this when like a musician dies,
yeah,
we just play their music. Man, this guy's catalog is huge of incredible matches you can go and watch. And yeah, as you said, like if there's any kind of GoFundMes or t-shirts or whatever, like
be sure to look,
you can to support. Absolutely.
Yeah, we're recording this Tuesday night at like 10:20 p.m. So like by the time you listen to this, there could be news and stuff. Always follow postwrestling.com for all the updates. I'm sure John and Wei will definitely discuss it on Rewind Dynamite this week as well, because I know they were huge fans of the Briscoes as well. So yeah, I'd say pour one out for the Briscoes, but I'll say a few of my Jay Briscoe memories are I've had the actual pleasure of not only getting to meet the Briscoe brothers a few times, but if you know me, smoking with the Briscoe brothers was even better. So definitely pouring one out and smoke them if you got them for Jay Briscoe here tonight. So yeah, man.
Yeah, and in the chat room right now, people are putting their kind of memories as well. Got one here from Jake saying, favorite memory of the Briscoes was them against War Machine at Global Wars 2016. Rest in paradise, Jermaine. We'll rewatch those FTR matches again.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have to figure out a best match ever coming in the next month or so to look back at some of the best from Jay Briscoe. But yeah, we'll go through the chat. If anyone's in the chat here today, definitely let us know your moments and we can go through some of them here tonight. But it was cool and classy of WWE. It was Vic Joseph on commentary tonight who did mention this. So
who both like I Booker look shook.
Yeah,
well,
Booker
like
was,
they can't be, and we see obviously so many tragedies in wrestling that too many, but like yeah, it can't be easy for these guys like working through it. Like if me as a fan just at home,
yeah,
I've never met this guy, you know, like I'm watching TV and I'm feeling completely bummed out by it. Like these guys and girls it's going to be tough. Like tomorrow especially, so many of those guys have work closely with him. It's going to be tough for sure.
Yeah, looking through just Twitter briefly tonight, all the different wrestlers kind of giving their thoughts, and everyone just involved in the industry and fans alike are just all pouring in with the thoughts and just like, oh man, like just put you in a bad mood. Again, these are people you watch for, whether you're a new wrestling fan, maybe this year is the first year you kind of got into them, or you've been watching them for almost 20 years. Like again, these people do put their bodies on the lines for us. And this wasn't related to anything like that. It was just what it seems like it was a car accident. Yeah. So that is just what it's like, man.
Obviously you hope the kids are okay. And hope after something so awful, like the best can come out of it. It's horrible, horrible.
I'm going to Captain Rowdy in the chat room who says he watched the Ring of Honor on New Japan World and enjoyed seeing the crossovers, and the Briscoes were unique and undeniably talented game changers. And then Help Action writes in, Briscoes versus Steen and Generico, New York in 07. I was a 16-year-old with my best friend. One of those matches and environments that confirms you and your bud will be friends and fans forever. Yeah, those classic, like, old-school Ring of Honor days with those fans, definitely. Like, it makes you keep
first
going.
First WrestleMania weekend
was
2014 in New Orleans, and the main event was Adam Cole, Jay Briscoe in a ladder war.
Oh, match, yeah.
Which was fantastic.
Yeah, I think I've seen them fight off. I was at Jay Briscoe, I think, versus Steen. Is that when he won the title, too? Damn, yeah, I've seen
so
many.
They've been very much an act like the Bucks, where you know, if you're going there live, like if it's a local show, even in some tiny venue, you see there on the card, you know you're going to get one really fun match there.
Yeah. I know Fire Frank, friend of the show, and John Cena were at a show just last week, I think, which probably may have been his last match then, depending. But yeah, super sad. We're going to talk about NXT, but I was just super bummed out. I know I speak for most wrestling fans here tonight. So yeah, pour one out. Let's try to not be so sad over Jay Briscoe here today. We can discuss some other things going on in the world of wrestling. I would advise people to check out poisonrana.ca for all the links and stuff for our show. Every Sunday we go live over on our YouTube and we discuss all the things going on in wrestling. I can already say this upcoming Sunday we'll be definitely talking more,
dedicating a lot of time
to more about some Jay Briscoe down there on Sunday. But check out our show from this past Sunday covering all the other Vince stuff, Stephanie stuff, Dominic Mysterio.
All
the fun stuff, which kind of go check out that feed, because on our free feed we have so many other shows. We have a new What Up Doe coming out this week. We had a detox last week. And
what are those shows for those who maybe haven't checked us out? Detox and new people.
Yeah. Go check out these shows. They're all free. And we do have a Patreon, though, and I would say go check that out, because we have some crazy shows, including a Best Match Ever Great Muda with WH Park coming out later this week. So that's something to look forward to. But go check all that other stuff out. We podcast about wrestling a lot. And we go live on Sundays on our YouTube. And we'll be going live again this weekend as
again,
well.
Again, this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, youtube.com/@poisonrana, and you can find all the links to our socials and our where to find our podcast, our Patreon, etc. at poisonrana.ca.
Next weekend is the Royal Rumble. I know I get pretty giddy when it comes Rumble season, because of course WrestleMania is the big Super Bowl of wrestling, but the Rumble is the most fun because anything could happen. You can gamble with your friends. You know, there's different things that watching the Rumble gives you a whole other different experience. So, I'm looking forward to that. And on Monday Night Raw, they announced that there's Cody Rhodes to the Rumble is a thing.
Yes.
We're not getting the triumphant John Cena back
surprise
from the dead
return.
Yeah, this is just, hey, he's in the Rumble.
Yeah, I think I kind of feel, especially after they've been running these videos, it's been clear he's coming back at the Rumble anyway, so why not announce it? Do you see him showing up on the Raw before, or do you think that's where we'll see him
just show
back
up at the Rumble?
I think so. Yeah.
Pharaoh technically getting his Raw debut in that video package. He showed up. I don't think we'll see him at the Rumble, but I'm interested to see, like, it's different that they announced he's going to be in it. I just think it's a little weird, but you're still going to get the big pop. He should just come out at number one
get it anyway, and it's going to put some more interest on it.
Yeah.
Do you think he wins?
I mean, we might not see The Rock show up at this Bloodline
reunion
thing. So maybe The Rock, but I don't know. Does The Rock need to come in and win it, or does Cody Rhodes win it?
Yeah,
we'll
it's whether you want to just go with the obvious. This is very Triple H returning in, what was it, 02?
Yeah.
03?
Play Beautiful Day 02, for Cody. Yeah. It'll be great. That's a thing. I'm interested to see if Rikishi shows up for the Bloodline reunion. Maybe The Rock. Maybe The Rock's daughter from NXT.
So we could get Simone, couldn't we?
Yeah.
What's her name here?
Ava Rain.
Yeah. Rikishi, we definitely need
the big quiche.
Rikishi.
I love how Raw,
Arthur and Sika.
I love how Raw's using Raw XXX. Always funny, giggles. But then Raw 30 is using that Bebe Rexha Blue remix song, which does not fit wrestling or the years of Monday Night Raw at all.
And it's not red, it's blue.
And they're singing about blues, and the show's red.
I hate that song. Like, it makes me... Is this where we are with music now, that we're now sampling fucking blue?
Yeah.
It's... It annoys me. It grates my cheese.
I'll give it another, like, the flip side is The Weeknd, the artist The Weeknd, fourth year in a row using a song.
He's doing WrestleMania again?
The song is... less than zero.
Was this a contract we didn't know about? Just like a 5-year deal?
They're like, here's 500 million. No, I don't know. That's crazy.
4 years. Which song is it?
I don't know, but Flo Rida is sweating somewhere. He's like, wait a second, 4 in a row?
He's calling up Pitbull right now.
Triple H, like, what about Vince? Vince, why aren't you calling me back? Oh, I don't run things anymore. It's,
yeah.
Wow, 4 years in a row. Yeah, but
good for him.
Yeah, it's a good track.
Of all the achievements from the weekend, this has got to be the crowning.
Of course, absolutely.
He's up there with your My Ways of the World. You crack addicts.
Yeah, someone needs to put this huge feud together with, like, The Weeknd, just his soft singing about love, really. That doesn't really fit wrestling either, but they make it work somehow. They're pop, his popular songs. Blinding Lights fit.
That was a good like, one.
You know.
They're the ones that get you up and dancing when you're there.
It's, hey, it's I like good. To see a Scarborough boy get the WWE checks.
Good for him.
So, shout out The Weeknd. XO over everything. I guess we can jump into some NXT.
I think so.
Here tonight. What is going on in the world of NXT? Well, we'll find out. We're hot off of New Year's Evil last week, where we saw controversy with the rope and the ring breaking like twice, which then we realized that we're getting the rematch in a cage at Vengeance Day, February 4th. It should be noted, I know this if it's a ways away, but we're going to be going live on the Sunday, February 5th, the day after Vengeance Day for our post show there. So just a heads up way ahead of time. We will be watching it, but we will be going live and talking about it on the Sunday.
Next day. Yeah.
So Vengeance Day is coming as we get to the towards the end of this show. We'll have a few more matches that are officially announced, but we go into WWE NXT from January 17th, 2023 from the Capitol Wrestling Center. We start off with Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams, who comes out wearing his lucha mask, cause he's mocking Axiom, who is taking on the team of Axiom and Apollo Crews. So Carmelo and Apollo kind of having this unofficial number one contendership.
Yeah,
feud.
Carmelo won the first match, and Apollo like, that wasn't part of the plan. It wasn't in his vision, so he's desperate to kind of get that win back from Melo.
Trick is also wearing Burberry style tights.
He looked good.
MJF would be very proud. Cruz is in the ring and he's dropping Trick. When Trick tags in Melo here, who gets a huge drop kick to the face, Cruz knows how to jump up real high there to hit that. Melo then hits this like satellite face plant that we've seen him do on guys for a near fall. But Cruz eventually fights back, counters a series of moves, and hits a huge German suplex on Carmelo, but he kicks out of it. Eventually, Cruz tags in Axiom, and when he's back, we see picture in picture, and Axiom is just doing all sorts of flashy, very impressive stuff, but eventually gets beat down on. When we come back, Axiom and Cruz hit like in stereo Germans on both Melo and Trick at the same time. And then there's like the standing moonsault from Cruz, that's a two count. And then there's nothing but net, but it's countered. And Apollo manages to like upside down, put Melo's shoulders to the mat. And the ref counts the three. And therefore, Apollo Cruz now has a pinfall victory over Carmelo Hayes, which shakes him to his core here.
Yeah. So, kind of, yeah, we need a rubber match between these two, and then I guess whoever wins that will be Bronze or Grayson's opponent after Vengeance Day. Yeah, this was fun. I think Axiom is really special. He's so much fun to watch. And, yeah, I keep on thinking Trick is just proving himself more and more each week as well. I think he's really stepping up his game. Obviously, the other three are pretty spectacular to watch. This Apollo thing has been super rocky since his debut, but I am kind of digging this feud with Melo, and it might give him a bit more credibility or something moving forward. Although I do still see the destination being Melo.
Yeah.
For I assume Bron.
We'll get a segment later kind of involving them, which I would imagine sets up the rubber match, so to speak, at Vengeance Day, number one contendership.
Yeah.
Would probably be what I would guess. But yeah, I like the fact that it continues.
Maybe a 2 out of 3?
That would be all right. Yeah, for sure. I wouldn't even mind if Axiom got involved somehow, but I feel like the feud now is just a singles match. We get a video here of Tony D'Angelo. He's there with Stax. This was a video from earlier this week. We see them. It's nighttime, and they're walking. We hear great Italian music.
Oh, the music.
Just
so funny.
Just very Godfather-esque. They're walking on the bridge. Now, if you're a longtime NXT viewer, meaning the last, like, year and a half, you'd know that this was the same bridge that they, kayfabe-wise, murdered Two Dimes and threw him over to make him sleep with the fishes.
We forgot about the bridge when we were talking about the Monopoly board of the world of NXT.
That's right.
Yeah, we got Two Dimes Bridge.
pour one out.
it's one of those things where if you are someone who's watched this show like every week, as soon as you saw the setting, like, I laughed out loud.
Yeah.
Because you know where this is going. Is he gonna
throw him over? So Stax here is a little nervous, and he says, "Why are we here?" And Tony D'Angelo says, "We're here for business." And then he pulls out two dimes, and he's got literally two dimes, two coins in his hand. And Stax is even more scared and says, "Look, Tony, I tried my best, and no matter what, I'm loyal to the end." So he turns around and says, "Do what you got to do." Basically saying, "Throw me over the bridge here. I want to go swimming with the fishes." And, well, Tony says, "That's not what I'm going to do." He says, "But Stax, your days as a soldier are over. You've now become the underboss." Sorry, the underboss. The underboss?
The underboss.
The underboss. And gives him this jacket with this, like, embroidered logo on it and says, "This is our family crest," and says, "I'm proud of you." So there you go. Stax is a made man.
He is.
I guess, in a somewhat of a way.
I love how Two Dimes in NXT is kind of like how William Regal has been in AEW. Like, he was taken out, but his spirit lingers on. He's now working for the other place, but
that's where he swam to Orlando.
It affected everything. Sorry, Two Dimes' departure has made Stax step up and at this point fear for his life, but was ready to take the bullet again. These are so corny. They're filmed like a school movie project. The acting is about as good as that, but it's endearing as well, and I'm kind of for it.
Yeah. Love any mafia references in my pro wrestling
I just
TV shows.
Picture people like flicking through, and because you'll see right away from the quality, this isn't what is it that we see before it starts? Law and Order?
Yeah.
Is on, and it's always very dramatic, and
Dick
we kind
Wolf.
Of laugh about how dramatic Dick Wolf's show is.
Yeah.
But it's still like this higher quality and presentation and everything. If you're flicking through and see this scene, you'd be like, what is this?
And then says, "Do it." And he's like, "I'm not going to do it."
Yeah. But Stax ready to like that. He earned his stripes here.
Yeah. I imagine maybe we get more of a tag team from these two, like actual, maybe go for the gold.
Yep.
Something like that. But no longer being his lackey, being his equal.
I like it.
Yeah, me too.
And then eventually we'll have, it's got to be Stax who tries to take out the Kingpin, right?
Right.
That's where we go. It can't be Tony turning on Stax. It's Stax wanting to be the Don.
Yeah.
That's where we're leading to, I would think.
What's his like actual kayfabe name? It's like Channing Lorenzo. Stax Lorenzo. Such a good wrestling. It's almost as good as Sexton Hardcastle, but it's not quite. We get a recap of last week, the Battle Royal, where both members of Toxic Attraction won. More on that in a bit, as they said they'll get to it. But before that, we have a little Tiffany Stratton interview with Mackenzie Mitchell, and Tiff says, "Mackenzie, you're the one who asked for this, so I don't know what you want with me." Mackenzie says, "Hey, you know, you showed up last week, and well, you had some words to say about the locker room, and well, here's a video of what happened last night," which I wasn't sure why they were showing last night, because I don't know what was going on in the CWC last night, because it would have been a Monday night.
Yeah.
But Tiffany Stratton,
I guess, just coming in for training or whatever.
Maybe. Yeah, true. Okay. Tiffany goes into her locker room, but it's locked, and Indy Hartwell eventually opens the door and says, "I heard what you said about us. You called the women's locker room here in NXT
pigs.
So, we decided we don't want you changing, dressing with us anymore. So basically kicks her out.
So this took her name off the dressing room and put women's locker
room. This is our dressing room now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, starting some beef with this. So Tiffany says, like, oh, I don't care about this Indy Hartwell, so...
I hope this is a good feud for Indy, because I think Tiffany's a big enough character that... because Indy's someone who floats around a lot. I'm hoping this feud might do something a bit more for her. And we haven't seen Tiffany wrestle for quite a while now, but yeah, she was someone who was really impressing week after week. So I'm kind of up for this feud. Neither are in kind of title contention yet, but I hope this one delivers. It has my interest a bit more than, say, a Wendy Chu Tiffany feud, because I don't think this is going to be quite as silly, maybe.
Tiffany's like the Miz here.
Yeah, getting kicked out.
Down the locker room.
Eating chicken on...
What are you doing? Get out of here.
On someone's back.
You
yeah.
can't do this. Get out of here. We go to Toxic Attraction. Gigi and JC both make their way to the ring. They both have microphones. They say, we did what we say we would do, and we both won the battle royal. And you were cheering for us, says Gigi. I heard you cheering for us, even when JC may have tried to throw me out. But it's okay. We ended up winning at the same time anyways. So from here on out, we're going full steam into Charlotte for Vengeance Day, baby, which they say like Kofi Kingston for some reason. They basically say that they both have the title opportunity against Roxanne. And Roxanne's been this thorn in their side ever since taking the NXT title from us, meaning Mandy Rose. And then they say that you're gonna regret the day that you did this. And this is when Lyra Valkyria, she comes out and says that you two slipped away last minute when she should have won the battle royal last week. And to be honest, when I look at either of you two, JC and Gigi, I don't see champion. I see losers. JC says, well, you know, it looks like you fell from the sky. I got a chuckle out of that one because she's the bird lady for people keeping score. Lyra then says, look, you couldn't beat Roxanne by yourselves. That's why you both have to team up to face her. This is when Roxanne shows up and all these women start to brawl, and it eventually sets up a tag team match playa holla holla later tonight for our main event.
Yeah, it was just as this segment started when, like, we heard about the Jay Briscoe news. So I can't say I was particularly checked in for this one. I still think the Toxic Attraction thing just isn't working. They barely get a reaction anymore.
Yeah.
Like heel heat or anything.
Yeah.
So by the end of the show, which we'll get to later, I think they've just been made to look like complete losers going to this feud. This two-on-one thing with Roxanne Perez just isn't working for me.
Yeah, that's the match for those wondering. Roxanne versus Gigi versus JC in a triple threat at Vengeance Day.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the big pay-per-view match that gets us excited.
Especially this is if this was a TV special, okay, but this is one of the... They're on the road. It's the first event not piggybacking off of anything, and it's in an arena. I think Roxanne needs a stronger kind of singles opponent, and I thought JC and Gigi were made to look like jokes tonight.
Yeah, I'm not too interested in this, and I think maybe separating them eventually, like in the match, they're going to wrestle each other.
Yeah,
because you're gonna see that, but after that. I don't know. Like, do they need a leader? They need someone else to fill the shoes of Mandy? Does Mandy come back?
Yeah.
Like, right?
It needs something, but even then, I just feel like it's been toxic forever.
I'd be way more interested in Roxanne versus someone else, but I just don't know. Like, a Tiffany would have made sense, but, like, then you would probably want Tiffany to be a champion in a year or so.
I mean, I can see them doing a babyface thing with Lyra Valkyria at some point. They seem to have like kind of moved her right to the top of the division pretty quickly. She's got the feud with Cora. Cora is obviously another. They've got to go to the rematch.
I think that'll be there. WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Weekend.
But yeah, this one ain't it, unfortunately.
We go to the Diamond Dojo. another place on the NXT Monopoly board. Diamond Mine are training in the gym. They're really upset at what's been going on. They were attacked last week by Jinder Mahal. That's right. Jinder Mahal is back in NXT. And they're pissed. Ivy says, look, guys, I know you're upset, but you need to shut up and you need to listen. You need to stay focused. Ivy says, what happened to you, Julius and Brutus? You used to be strong. You used to be locked in. She says, you guys need to grow a sack and become the Creed brothers that you were before.
Yeah, this was a bit weird because she's kind of telling them to grow a pair, but has also been telling them to just back away from this fight.
Very
from
confusing.
These guys.
Mixed messages.
She's going like, look, you're in over your head. Sanger's huge. It's now 3-on-2. Jinder Mahal, who's a former WWE champion. So grow a pair, lads, and move away from him. I'm like, it doesn't quite make sense. It made sense when she was like, focus on the titles, don't focus on this. But I thought the whole kind of essentially like man up stuff. Well, yeah, this is what they're doing. These big lads picked a fight with them and they haven't been standing down. So it's this has been dragging on.
Yeah.
This thing. I thought, like, I kind of felt you needed Jinder on this show because I kind of forgotten about last week, and I thought you should have followed up with maybe hearing from Inder Shear and why Jinder's there.
How could you forget Jinder showed up last
rather week? Rather than, but I feel that's, we need more of that, more of a justification of why yeah. he's there and stuff, rather than just seeing from the Creeds again. I don't know. Yeah.
We might be the only people who knew Jinder showed up last week.
Yeah.
that watched NXT last week. Yeah, Ivy Nile, just sending mixed messages to these guys is pretty funny. Like, wait, what are you talking about? Like,
yeah,
it's reminding me of old relationships. No, don't fight them. 2 weeks later, what's wrong with you? Don't you have balls? Why don't you fight them, losers? What's wrong with you? Ivy's the turncoat. I think the end game here, Vengeance Day, Creeds, Roderick Strong versus Jinder, Sangha, and Veer.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. It. Hope that's the outcome. We go to Stevie Turner, our resident streamer here in NXT. She's now reviewing tape of the Battle Royal from last week, a segment which they already did a few segments back where they showed
highlights,
maybe 3-minute video of that Battle Royal. Well, great. We get to watch them again, but now with Stevie's feedback. She stole our gimmick reviewing NXT.
yeah except she's a bit late. Like, we did our review a week ago. It's on the news now. Like, we're about news. To talk about this week's Stevie.
She's recapping it and says, oh, you had to forget alliances, and if I was there I would have won. Well, why weren't you, instead of just talking about it? She then says that she'll be back to give more updates, and when she's in the ring, that day is approaching. This is another day in the life of Stevie. And remember, I'm always
two steps ahead and a level above.
Something like that.
A level above and two steps ahead.
Two levels above and two steps ahead. Stevie out.
I really don't like this. Sure, having a character who is a non-wrestler doing a Twitch thing to kind of remind you what happened last week instead of just a classic highlight video. Okay. But where does this, again, where's the match? Where do we go from here? Cause she's not having any real opinion on anything. So at least when Lash Legend was doing her kind of chat show, she'd be like throwing shade at different people she's talking about.
Okay.
Whereas she's just doing what we're doing and being like, yeah, last week there was a battle royal and this happened. And I find it very cringy.
Yeah, there's definitely different ways. Like, if you're going to do the streamer, she shouldn't just be review. She should just do our gig. She should be, like, I don't know, gaming or something along those lines.
The streamer should be, like, a heel or, like, just talking trash about everyone.
Or, like, that which they did not mention today. Again, feels like a fever dream a week ago. But NXT Anonymous, which was not mentioned on this show. Should that not be her? Like, she's involved with, like, tech. Again, I'm going back to Solomon Crow, the hacker gimmick or whatever, but yeah, I didn't like this at all. Also, she's talking about last week's match, which they already highlighted. So, like, I was already tired of watching.
She was kind of reminding us about the Electra Lopez, Valentina Ferois thing with Electra kind of coaching her, which comes into play a little later.
Because
I think that was stuff that you'd have that I don't think we picked up in the Battle Royal last week that she was doing that. But yeah.
We go to our next match. Alba Fire going one-on-one against Sol Ruka. So this match was supposed to happen. Then Alba was attacked, so it got like postponed. And then Alba basically said, Sol, we never had that match. Do you still want it? And basically made her accept
this. She's kind of rude. Yeah. She's like, you want it or not?
Yeah, so it's happening here tonight. They're again showing clips of last week. Sol Ruka doing the Kofi Kingston handstand. Mm-hmm. Again, call your bookie for the Royal Rumble. I would put money in having Sol Ruka doing that spot in the Royal Rumble in 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Book it.
Definitely.
Please. Sol versus Alba Fire here. Sol is countering everything Alba has to do by countering into handstands and pretty clever escapes, and then turns one of them into an X-Factor, shout out X-Pac, for a near fall. Fire comes back with a super kick for a near fall, and then as she's gaining control, there's multiple attempts for the Gory Bomb, but we see Isla Dawn on the NXT perch, which obviously would distract anyone. In a match, just look at someone standing there, then turns around and gets hit with the debut on TV of the Sol Ruka. Like,
does she have a name for it?
I've been calling it the Wave Runner or Point Break or whatever, but I'm sure it'll have a name by next week. But this crazy jumping, flipping, twisting cutter, which gives Sol Ruka the big upset.
Like, she's on the second rope or the second rope, I think. And like she jumps, does like a forward, like back somersault.
Don't even try explaining this. Yeah. I don't know.
It looked great. And I thought the timing of it was actually really well done with the distraction. And a big win for Sol Ruka. Like I thought this was a bit of a upset, actually. And I think really impressive with that move. It's definitely something we've seen it go around on Twitter already when she did it on Level Up. But this is going to have a bit more. A few more people are seeing this.
Yeah, we talked about it a few weeks ago when we were like, oh, they can't wait to see her do this. And now she has. I'm sure more people will see it. Again, put her in the Rumble. But yeah, cool looking move, cool looking stuff. I see big things for Sol Ruka here. And I guess the feud of the witch versus the fire girl.
The conclusion, I guess so. Yeah.
You assume Alba Fire, who is Scottish, is celebrating Burns Night next week.
Next Wednesday, yeah.
Next Wednesday, right? So maybe we get a Burns Night match.
That'd be good. Next. What, they read poetry to each other? While eating haggis?
Yeah, well, Isla Dawn's Irish, right?
They're both Scottish.
They're both Scottish?
Yeah, Isla Dawn's Scottish as well, I believe.
I'm thinking of Nikki Cross.
Who?
I don't know. She was sort of a witch and doing the same laugh, creepy thing in NXT.
She's from Glasgow.
So Isla Dawn and
both Scottish. So they've got to have a Burns Night.
Oh, we're having a Burns Night match next week. They haven't announced it. They dropped the ball on that. For anyone who doesn't know what Burns Night is, I'm learning too. But next Wednesday is Scottish people are going to go nuts.
I'll tweet it. See if they listen.
Would it be an Inferno match? Burns Night Inferno match?
Or it'll be... what was the one they had in New Japan with, was it Kanemaru who drinks the whiskey?
Oh, right, yeah.
They're shooting scotch wrestling.
Yeah, scotch.
It's like a rounds match, but between every round, they got to
I don't think they'd air that whiskey. On NXT. shots of flaming Sambuca.
Yeah.
Flaming whiskey, because they're fire. It burns.
Yeah.
Night. We need to book it. We're just fantasy booking a Scottish Inferno match for Burns Night, the eve of next week. But if they don't book it, it's a mistake. In our opinion, we're doing it for the culture.
Yes.
Because I usually don't understand when Scottish people speak.
There was even a joke about that later.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We go from that to, I mean, shout out Sol Ruka getting a big win. But we go from that to Dijak. He's in a dark room in an office. He's like the Terminator. He says, today, street justice, they're going to have to find out what it really means from me. And next on my list is Wes Lee. I didn't come back to NXT to make friends. I came back to collect punitive damages. It won't be Vengeance Day. It'll be Judgment Day. It's official. Vengeance Day. Wes Lee versus Dijak for the North American Championship. Punitive damages.
It's so just... A, we've seen it before. We've heard this language so many times. It means nothing. It's such a two-dimensional character. It's... yeah, exactly.
Judgment Day. We already said he looked like the Terminator.
He's cosplaying Terminator, yeah.
Yeah. James Cameron's so hot right now, so maybe...
Yeah, this Dijak character isn't for me, unfortunately, which is a shame. We said it before, I've always really liked this guy, but
yeah,
man, the shit he gets given.
Okay, look, the bright side is the match against Wesley, the actual bell-to-bell,
yeah,
should be awesome, and we'll definitely be raving about it, I'm sure. But the gimmick this guy has is so laughable, it's so cheesy. He looks like Big Boss Man. Just talking about justice. The punitive damage. What punitive damages? Who are you going after? What did Wes ever do to you? Did he make you join that?
The title, didn't he?
Injustice group, whatever.
Did you see him on Twitter earlier?
What was he talking about?
He was like, because he's verified or something, he can't change his name, so he's still T-Bar. So he's like, at Elon Musk. It's like, I don't want to fucking be T-Bar anymore.
So he really wants those punitive damages.
Be Dijak.
Wow. Just change it, bro. He doesn't want...
Just start a new account again. So yeah, his handle is still at T-Bar Retribution.
That's it, Retribution. That's the name of it.
And
he's getting it confused with Antifa.
It's been almost 2 months since we officially submitted a request to change me at my @ on Twitter and Instagram. If you are verified, they don't let you change it yourself. I don't know what it will take, but let me know @ Elon Musk, because this motherfucker T-Bar stays haunting me.
And if Elon, if you don't change my Twitter handle, you're going to be hit with some hard justice. It's going to be Judgment Day.
Damages.
Oh man, yeah.
I miss Oney Lorcan's tweets. That was a fun thing we used to do.
Oney Lorcan, yeah. I mean, he's back now. He's a trainer, I think, in NXT. I saw him tweeting some things about that. So
interesting.
That's pretty sweet. But I'd like to see him wrestle again too. But yeah, Dijak versus Wes at Vengeance Day. We go to part one of the sit-down interviews involving the world title match. Grayson Waller sitting down with Vic Joseph earlier today. He says that he should have walked out NXT world champion, but it was a draw because of the whole ring and the count out. And he says it was the one thing that I could not control. So Braun didn't beat me. It was not Braun. It was the ring. That's what cost me. Vic Joseph brings up the fact that the knee hurt around the world, meaning there was a huge knee in the match. I don't know if it was really hurt around the world, but it was possible to some that Waller would have beat Braun with that move. And then the ring broke again. So it's a big what if he jumped off the top. If he hit that elbow, maybe you would have won. And he says, I should have won. I would have beat Braun. So therefore, I'm just as much as the champion as Braun is. So I brought my own title, and then he puts on a replica world title for NXT and says that Charlotte, Braun versus Waller in a cage, and I'm going to prove that I am the real champion.
I think they've been doing a pretty good job with this feud, actually, and I did think last week was quite unique, the finish with the ropes, and it does give Waller a kind of what-if situation rather than, you know, the... what you'd kind of expect if they're going to a rematch. Waller does something kind of cheating and gets caught, so the match gets thrown out. It's a DQ, something like that. It's a bit groan during the rematch. I think this has been quite unique, and I think they've done a good job selling that knee, because that was impressive last week.
Yeah.
I thought they did a good job putting that over this week.
So, yeah, Grayson versus Braun inside a cage. We'll get the second half of this, but it's Braun being interviewed later tonight. It wasn't Waller being, like, him putting the title on wasn't as...
I hate that.
Yeah.
Like, I do hate the stealing a title or I'm the real champion, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think the stuff with the ropes was actually... He kind of said something as well about how... well, when the ropes failed on Braun, he was down for forever as they spent the time.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I did get up after the 10.
We go to two little quick inserts before a match coming up between... We see Gallus getting ready, and they say something, I'm sure, but I couldn't understand it. They then say that Gallus is always on top. I always understand when they say that. Briggs and Jensen, I could understand them a little bit more. They say that these country boys are going to raise some hell tonight as these two teams... face off next. But when we come back, we do see Alba Fire attacking a ref backstage. She's mad at the ref, even though she was the one who was kind of distracted. When Caden and Katana kind of interrupt and say, "What are you doing, Alba? Come on, stop it. You're going to get kicked out of NXT." She could only hope, I think, at this point. She then says, "Don't tell me to calm down." And she says, "I'll fight anyone. I'll fight both of you." And she says, "Yeah, well, we'll take you on." And she says, "But you need a partner." And Alba says, "No, I'll fight you both myself." So a lot of tag teams facing one person going on in NXT as of late.
Would that be, who do you think partners her? Isla Dawn.
Isla Dawn.
And be like, "Yeah, I'll be your partner."
Isla Dawn and Alba Fire should just decide to put their witch and fire brimstone fire together and then win the tag titles.
Yeah.
It was all a ruse. They killed each other for weeks to get to this point. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I still find Caden and Katana quite unlikable whenever they're in these backstage segments. Even though they're meant to be the baby faces, like, I'd be a little aggravated by them if I was Alba Fire.
Yeah.
Because they were a bit patronizing. "Oh, well, we just kept on trying and now we're the champions." It's like, yo, fuck off.
Leave me alone. I'm mad right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, Alba Fire should just go to the main roster. I think there's more there to do. We've been saying, but yeah, she has a match next week against Caden and
Katana.
That's it. We get a video for Tyler Bate. He will be wrestling later tonight, but we go to our tag team match here. Briggs and Jensen going up against Gallus. This is Mark Coffey.
Yes.
And Wolfgang. Can never forget Wolfgang. We see Gallus kind of bullying Jensen here. They're being dickheads. They're putting boots to them, tagging in and out. They start, they slam Jensen on the outside. They hit Briggs with a back suplex on the apron, and then they start to remove the mats on the bottom of like the little small ramp there in NXT. But Briggs suplexes Wolfgang onto the mat part as they go into picture in picture. When we come back, Jensen fires up with this hot tag. There's a huge spin heel kick. But then eventually runs into the bigger Mark Coffey, who's just bullying him down. There's a shoulder block off the apron from Briggs. And then Jensen gets like backdropped onto the exposed part of the ramp. And this is when Fallon Henley comes out to check on him and realizes he's really hurt. So she calls security and some doctors and they're checking on him, leaving Briggs alone in the ring with Gallus. It's not until Kiana James comes out, which me and you were shouting at the TV, "Where's Kiana? She's got to help Briggs." Sorry, Jensen. She does and says, "Come on, get up, fight." All while Gallus is in the ring, they hit this kick power slam combo onto Briggs, and the Gallus boys are on top.
Yeah, this was okay. I was more interested by the story with Jensen and Kiana and Fallon. Then I would say the match itself. Gallus just don't quite do it for me, really. The pretty big spot for next doing the concrete drop, I guess. Like, it that would hurt. But
yeah.
I don't know. This didn't really connect with me.
Yeah, someone in the chat is saying, Frank in the chat's even reminding me that Gallus also changed their music. So they don't even have that generic... It's like car music, car commercial music. Apparently, I didn't notice it. So maybe that is true because I usually do like that song.
Mm.
That stock music for like Ram truck. Yep. Somehow Gallus uses.
Ooh.
You know how I found it on Spotify. That's how. So this was fine. Briggs and Jensen have definitely stepped up in the past while. Like since that Kofi Kingston New Day match. They've been great.
I could see them having a tag run at some point with the titles. Like, they've definitely improved, and we were big, like, haters of these guys at the beginning.
Gallus don't really get it done for me. I'm not really too sure why this is happening, but sure. We see Thea Hale backstage. She's getting amped up. She says, "I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready." Duke says, "Are you?" And she says, "Yeah, I am ready to throw up." And he says, "Well, that's because you're nervous. Don't worry." And this is when Andre Chase comes in and says, "Duke, I got something to show you here." And it's a phone and it's someone filming. Oh, is this NXT Anonymous maybe? Duke talking to someone else in Chase University. And it looked like or sounded like Duke was almost bad-mouthing Professor Chase to another Chase U student. And Andre Chase doesn't take to this too kindly and starts scolding Duke, like, how dare you? And Duke says, no, don't worry about this right now. Let's focus on Thea Hale's match.
So I couldn't quite hear the video. I'll have to go on at WWE Anonymous.
NXT no, I don't care enough to do that. No, it aired really, really weird. You could not really properly hear what, but then just because of Chase's reaction, I assumed he
was. So Chase has obviously heard Duke kind of maybe bad-mouthing him or something. And because he went from not trusting this guy to starting to trust him to now kind of being a bit suspicious of old Duke Hudson.
But they're like, don't worry, Thea's got a match. Let's just
focus on that first and we can talk about this later.
Yeah, you can't have Duke and the whole Chase thing break down over NXT Anonymous.
No, that'd be sad. Just wrong.
Be a miss. We see Jensen backstage. He's being checked on. Brooks Jensen, that is. Fallon comes in and she's really upset and says, look, you know, how are you feeling? I can't believe Kiana James came out there and she's so upset. And Jensen's like, what? She was just checking on me. I was hurt. And she says, no, Kiana James is just using you. Jensen says, hey, why do you care? Look, you got your bar. Maybe she just likes me. I like her. Deal with it. And Fallon says, oh, yeah? Well, I'll remember that we had this conversation when she breaks your heart. And Fallon walks off. Damn. Some real Degrassi vibes going on here.
I remember having a similar argument with a friend of mine. We were on a road trip. Yeah. We were in Memphis. And I was chatting to this rather nice young lady. And he was like, come on, like, let's move on. He, like, no one was interested in him at his bar. So he was like, no, let's move on. Let's go. Next one. And I was like, well, I'm chatting to this girl. She's nice. He's like, oh, she's just using you for drinks. I'm like, well, she bought me the drink. So what are you talking about? That was kind of like here. He's nice. Like, what? You've got your bar. What's she using me for?
Yeah.
What
like, is it for? Fallon is just being a friend here.
Do you think she maybe likes Jensen?
No, I think she's just being a genuine friend.
Okay.
We've been friends for a few years now. We've said to each other, this person might be not so good for you. This person might mess with you a little bit. This person's going to break your heart a little bit. Maybe she's just being a good friend. But then she gets suckered into Jensen being like, no, you're wrong about her. Which we've both also said those things and look at us. So there you go.
I feel down the line they might have her be. Oh. It's better for the story, isn't it?
Yeah,
if she starts to fall for old B Square Junior.
Shout out B Square. We go to Valentina Ferraz. She's in action. I was excited here. She's going one on one against Thea Hale, and Thea is hyped up here. Valentina though has got a lot going through her mind because the whole Sangha kind of leaving her high and dry, and then her partner, oh man, I'm blanking on her partner's name.
Ulyssa Leon.
Yeah, she's healing up from an injury, so Valentina's all alone here in NXT. So her and Thea tie it up here, they're going counter for counter. Thea hits a pretty cool-looking sunset roll-up for a near fall, and then a standing moonsault, but again, Faraz kicks out. They both are running the ropes, and Faraz and her hit a running double crossbody as they both try to pin each other. But then there's Electra Lopez, who's ringside, watching the match, and throws Valentina this ring.
Isn't it the brass knuckles she used to give to Santos, right?
That's right, that's right. Sorry, not a ring, but brass knucks. And Valentina does not want to use the
hammer.
Exactly what I was going to say. And decides to throw it away, causing her to be distracted, which allows Thea Hale to hit the party foul. Remember that move?
Yep.
1-2-3, Thea Hale wins her match and is just ecstatic. Chase U running wild.
So proof that William Regal is backstage working on segments here.
Yeah, brass knucks.
Yeah, interesting. They're trying to, I think, like, I really like Valentina, but we can see in sort of segments later today, like, her English isn't quite there. And it's kind of difficult to understand her at times. So while she's working on that, I believe they do have kind of language classes and things for the foreign talent in WWE. I think having her maybe with an Elektra who can be a bit more of a mouthpiece wouldn't be such a bad idea. Because I think she's very talented
Yeah.
For Royce. I like her a lot.
Yeah, I do
but
too.
But this also achieves something in Thea Hale's win as well.
Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't mind if Valentina doesn't really have anything else going on. Why not eventually give in to the dark side a little bit? And then when Yulissa comes back, she'll be like, what are you doing? And then also join. You could have a little stable there.
I think so. Yeah.
So it would be all right. Yeah. Like Faraz has definitely showed way more, but the story was kind of her to let Thea get the win. So that's all right. But we'd like to see where this goes. We see Mello and Trick.
And afterwards, sort of as Thea's celebrating, Duke's doing the Chase You sign with her and celebrating, and Andre Chase is just looking at him kind of, you fucker. What are you doing? What are you doing? I don't trust you.
Yeah, we need to see Chase You continue on. We can't leave. We can't have it like this.
No.
It's like the bloodline feud of NXT. We see Mello and Trick leaving, and they're in the parking lot. They better be careful. Trick's wearing a wrestling club hoodie. Shout out the wrestling club. Apollo Crews interrupts them and walks up to them and says, Mello, it looks like your visions didn't come true because I beat you here tonight. And Carmelo and Trick are like, oh, you know, that didn't count. It was a tag.
I was partnering this guy.
Yeah. No wonder I lost. And Apollo says, well, I mean, that's one for you and that's one for me, no matter how you look at it. And, well, I need a fresh cut. You know any good barbershops around here? And then he walks off and gets in his car and laughs. And Trick goes, fresh cut? Man, he ain't got no damn hair. Which this whole interaction just was fantastic. When he joked and said, I need a fresh cut, and then like laughed at himself, loved it.
He's winning your round, Apollo.
Yeah, that was a funny joke. Yeah. Why can't you do that instead of being like, I know where to get a fresh cut. And it's in my own shower because I'm just shaving my own head. But no, I like this.
Yeah, as I said earlier, I'm looking forward to the rematch.
Yeah.
And Trick and Mello are always very entertaining, I find, in all these backstage segments. And Apollo brought it here as well.
Yeah.
Quite funny.
This is where we cut to Vic Joseph and Booker T sending their condolences to Jay Briscoe and friends and family here, which, again, was a very different move for WWE, especially for stars that never really were in WWE. So I was a big fan of that.
Yeah.
We go back from commercial, and it's Valentina backstage when Electra Lopez walks in and says, why didn't you take my help? I offered you some help. And Valentina says, I don't cheat. And she says, Valentina, you fight to win. You fight for respect. Valentina says, Electra, you're starting to sound like Sangha. You sound the same. And Electra walks off and says, think about it. Think about it, hero.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we're going in that direction with Valentina and Electra.
Yep, I like it.
We go to the New Day, who come out. And it should be noted, I'm reading from a tweet from John Pollock who says New Day was scheduled to host a funeral segment on NXT tonight, but the segment was changed after the passing news of Jay Briscoe.
So kind of maybe would explain why this next segment was just a bit like thrown together.
Yeah.
And the Kofi and Woods also were wearing kind of suits here with the jackets off. So Vic and Booker only just announced it, so this must have been pretty last minute.
Yeah, that would make some sense. New Day come out, and they say, hey, we're here in NXT and we look good. And he says, we're happy to be done with Pretty Deadly. Yes, boy. Except now we have to face the team of Gallus at Vengeance Day. This is when Pretty Deadly come out here and they say, you guys are mocking us. You think this is funny? And New Day say, yeah, I mean, we said we'd give you a title match if you got us those Ahmed Johnson LOD shoulder pads, but you never did, so therefore you don't get the match. And Pretty Deadly say, look, we've been jumping through hoops. Kofi says, actually, we probably should have made you really jump through hoops. Pretty Deadly say, we are the rightful contenders when Gallus come out. Fucking Gallus. They say, we won the match last week, and therefore we are the number one contenders now. Pretty Deadly say that's it's not how it goes. And Gallus Boy says, we're back on top. And they said that we've beat Briggs and Jensen now. So you two, meaning New Day, are next. And that's when Xavier Woods says, look, none of us understood anything that you just said. When pretty deadly actually start the attack, which causes all of these guys to start brawling and get a pull apart here from security, which then it is announced that at the Vengeance Day PLE, it will be a triple threat tag team match for the tag titles. Gallus, New Day, and Pretty Deadly.
Yeah, I'd have just been down for the straight one-on-one rematch of New Day and Pretty Deadly, to be honest. I thought their last match was really fun, and then recreating it again, but this time in an arena, like more fans there, I think could have been pretty good. I assume this is just a way so New Day don't get pinned to lose the titles, this triple threat.
Yeah, kind of weird, especially the Creeds being like the hot tag team, and that would be like the match that you would figure New Day would do. Idris and Malik, that's another match we didn't get to at all. So you would hope that the New Day just retain.
Idris and Malik versus New Day.
Versus New Day? Yeah. Sorry, yeah. I feel like having New Day just retain here would make more sense, but I don't really want to see it go on either of these other teams.
I definitely think this is to get it off New Day without them being pinned, is my opinion, my theory. True. But yeah, the Gallus just doesn't interest me, unfortunately. But as I said, this segment was probably thrown together pretty like
yeah,
notice as well,
and it was what it was. We go to a video backstage where Roxanne and Lyra Valkyria are talking. Roxanne says, "Look, I know what it's like to be the new girl here," and says, "We're going to tag team tonight against Toxic Attraction." Lyra Valkyria, who, again, you're keeping score, she is the bird lady.
Bird lady.
She says, "Look, Roxanne, normally I fly alone, but tonight's the exception."
So cheesy.
They are both interrupted by Big Body Javi, who says, "Hey, you guys know I have a match coming up, and you should also know that my song is charting in the billboards, and you should know my song. That's Feliz Javidad," which it's January 17th. Good time to bring up Christmas song.
I think that's the joke, isn't it? He's a bit of an idiot.
I really laughed way more than I should have at I Fly Alone line from Bird Lady. But don't have some guy interrupt like your women's world champion in a segment. Like, I think that's something that like is something they don't usually do.
Well, I mean, they made him look like the idiot.
Yeah.
Like it was the women's champion standing up and telling him to essentially fuck off.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It wasn't like he took over the segment and then they were an afterthought.
Well, their match is later tonight, but so is his coming up after. We get the second sit-down interview with Bron Breakker, and he says, "Look, I walked out champ, but I did not want it to end that way." Vic brings up the knee strike and says that you almost lost if the ring didn't collapse. Who knows if you got hit by that elbow drop, Bron says. "That's true, but anyone who doubts me and wants to doubt me, you will all see when Vengeance Day comes. Because me and Grayson Waller inside a steel cage, I'm gonna get my win back." And Bron calls Grayson Waller the Chael Sonnen of WWE because he talks so much trash and always gets his ass kicked, and says he's a disgrace and he won't be talking trash after I beat his ass inside the cage. Chael Sonnen. I do love me some Chael Sonnen trash talk.
No idea who that is.
Oh, former fighter, MMA, okay. UFC fighter.
Okay. Yeah, do you see any chance at all that Waller wins this one?
Please, dear God, no. You know what? Like, sure, but I don't. No. Things would be way more interesting with Bron Mello down the line. We go to our next match. Big Body Javi. He's got a guitar. He's ready to sing his song. He says it's Feliz Javidad, and it's a concert. He said that his song was trending on the Billboard Top 40, but I don't believe him. Tyler Bate interrupts him and comes out. The crowd are really hot here. We see Tyler versus Javi, and Tyler right away is just getting the best of him with the unorthodox style, as Vic Joseph calls it. We get him like countering and jumping around and twists and like escapes under the legs and everything. This pisses off Javi, who then thumbs him in the eye and then hits a bulldog and a clothesline for a two count. I could be wrong, but we've had this discussion before when Booker T just came into NXT, his commentary, where he might not be too familiar
he out and out said, I've never seen this guy wrestle before, which is crazy because, I mean, he's been in the company since, what, 2016?
So Vic Joseph's like, yo, this guy's actually pretty good. And Booker's like, yo, I don't want to talk about this guy. What about Big Body Javi? And then compares him to Macho Man. And Vic Joseph's like, dude, I don't think this guy reminds me of Macho Man at all as the match continues. Bate eventually fights back and hits Exploder, Kip Up, the Standing Star, the Bop Bang, End Again, and then a Torpedo Lariat rebound, and then goes for the Tyler Driver, but it seems there's like a slip-up between the two. So then goes for it again, and goes for the Tyler Driver 97, 98, whichever one he does, but instead ends up hitting the Misawa Gonzo Bomb, Tyler Driver 91 here. Yeah. This was almost scary.
Yeah, I mean, this. We've seen Tyler Bate do this on big guys like Gunther, like Walter in the past. Javier is taller. He is like longer than Bate. So, but this, you could see Vic said on commentary, like, oh, Javi blocked that first one, but it looked like he just couldn't get him up on the first attempt. And then the second time he tried it, he really didn't get him all the way up and dumped. Very close to his head. It was very, like, top of the shot. I hope the ref checked on Javier right away. But this was, just a pretty nasty finish, and they didn't show the replay here at all. So very, very odd. Apart from that, it was interesting listening to Booker clearly see this guy for the first time, because as soon as he starts hitting those exploders and his, like, rebound, like, shoulder rebound lariat and that, Booker was like, oh, this guy's actually pretty good. And Vic's like, yeah, he was youngest champion in WWE history and et cetera.
And Book's like, oh, nice. Yeah. Cool. Sweet. Good. Cool. I hope Javi's okay.
I hope he's okay. And
I'm hoping he is. But it did remind me of that super finisher, the Gonzo drop bomb thing. Man, crazy. We go, you know what, though? I'm excited that Tyler Bate's back. I hope they just throw randomly a great match on Vengeance Day to send everyone home happy. Book it while we can. Axiom Tyler Bate. Just do it.
Oh, yeah.
Just do it.
Let's do it.
Just do it. Don't even ask why. Makes sense. Shawn Michaels, just do it. Please. Please. We go to Chase University backstage. They're walking through the halls. They're all chanting and cheering, saying, you know, Chase U and singing that Thea Hale won her match. As they walk by, we see Fallon Henley walk up to Brooks Jensen. And she says, look, I'm sorry for earlier. Next week, I decided I have a tag team match and I want you to guess who my partner is. And Jensen says, Kiana? And she says, yeah. So next week, Fallon and Kiana are going to team up in a tag team match, and then they say, let's go get some drinks. Let's go to the bar.
This was the first sign maybe I saw of a little dissension between Briggs and Jensen, because Briggs looked pissed off because they just lost the match. And all these other two are worrying about is Kiana. So he did seem a little, like, while all this was going on, he seemed a little, like, peeved by it. But yeah, like, strap him, Fallon and Kiana, let's do it.
Yeah.
Best team.
Why not? Let's go. Next week, they announced that there's an award ceremony for Chase U. We're going to get that tag team match as well. I'm trying to remember anything else they've announced, but we go to our main event here. Lyra Valkyria teaming up with the women's champ Roxanne Perez to take on Gigi and JC. Toxic Attraction. We have Roxanne in the ring with JC starting things off. They're going back and forth, but Roxanne getting the best of her, hitting a quesadora for a two count. Gigi's in, and she hits this, like, series of standing falling headbutts. It reminds me of Santino when he used to do, like, the salute or whatever, but looked pretty good. Lyra Valkyria.
That's the one.
Yep. Lyra Valkyria comes in, and she hits a series of moves like this. Jumping enzigiri and then a huge fall away slam kip up as she goes up top to hit some sort of move. I assume the bird lady doesn't move where she flies off the top rope, but we don't get to see it because Cora Jade yet again sticking her nose into some business and throws her off there. This pisses off Valkyria, so she then jumps off the top to the outside, taking out Cora Jade, and then they start to brawl and, like, exit the match, leaving Roxanne all alone to take on Toxic Attraction. She is about to get hit by the high-low combo, but she ducks it. So JC ends up booting Gigi in the face. Then there's a side Russian leg sweep, and then the Pop Rocks on Gigi for the win. Roxanne Perez beats Toxic Attraction, and she didn't need the Bird Lady's help, so why do I even need to see them have the match at the pay-per-view in the first place?
Yeah, like having... Yeah, definitely. I think having... It would have worked with Toxic actually beating Roxanne here. Okay, you don't want to give her a loss, but I think with her being left on her own, it would actually give Toxic Attraction a bit more momentum going into this match. But this just made them look like absolute jokes.
Yeah.
Roxanne taking care of them quite easily on her own.
Yeah, don't need to see the match now. It's definitely lackluster. Yeah.
Cora versus Lyra Valkyria interests me more, I think.
Yeah.
But this, it's a very clear win for Roxanne Perez against these two.
I thought that by the end of this, we were going to get Valkyria added to that match, so it's like a fatal four-way, so we get two baby faces, two heels kind of thing. Mm. But then it's the Cora feud still. Yeah, so it's just so weird that why would I care about Roxanne taking on both of them when she just so easily beat them?
Yeah.
So like dead on arrival with that feud or that match. I don't really care to see it. I guess the story, the flip, would be seeing Gigi and JC like fight in that match.
Yeah.
Like, because they kicked each other in the face, right? But, like, yeah.
They announced next week it's going to be a face-to-face-to-face triple kind of contract signing thing between Toxic Attraction and Roxanne.
Correct. Yeah, great. So, yeah, that was the main event, and that's what sends NXT off the air. And kind of a not lackluster. You had a win, you know, the champion getting a win here, but still.
Yeah, this was a hard episode to watch. Obviously, all our attention was elsewhere with the horrible news about Jay Briscoe, but I did feel this was a little bit of a step down after the last few weeks, which I have been pretty high on NXT actually recently. This was a bit of a step back. I wouldn't say there was anything glaringly bad, but I found it quite dull this week. Just a bit of a dull show.
Yeah, nothing on this edition like blew me away. Some of the wrestling, not a lot of it really hit. I think maybe the opening match with Cruz getting the win over Melo, because that definitely continues that story. And I would imagine they officially announced that for the Vengeance Day, because that just makes sense and would be, you know, a show stealer for that show. But overall, like nothing that really like annoyed me, except really the end with Roxanne beating up her two opponents so easily. But the rest of the show was all right. Very similar mood watching this, and then the news breaking of the passing of Jay Briscoe. We were put in a bad mood, but the show goes on, and we watch some NXT. So Vengeance Day, you know what? Going forward, Vengeance Day in a few weeks should be still pretty interesting, but can't say my excitement is anywhere near still of what any of the takeovers in the past would be. But yeah. That was NXT. That's what we thought of NXT here tonight. We do read your comments or questions. If you join the Poison Rana Facebook group, there's a Poison Rana Facebook page. We have all the socials, Twitters, Instagram and stuff, but we have a Facebook group that you can join, and we'll have a feedback thread that we will read here every week. And I'm going to read the first one here from Andrew McDonald, who writes in. So the one main comment I wanted to make with NXT was that according to Road Warrior Animal, Ahmed Johnson never gave back the Legion of Doom shoulder pads when he got them at WrestleMania 13. So if Pretty Deadly were to get them, they would be stealing stolen property. So it's not like it wouldn't be an immoral thing for them to get those shoulder pads for the New Day.
Interesting.
Great insight there, Andrew. Thank you.
Digging deep.
He continues, I guess the main news tonight was the passing of Jay Briscoe. I guess my favorite memory of his wrestling career was when he won the ROH world title for the first time. I remember buying that pay-per-view where he beat Owens for the title. Steen, he means. At the time, I never saw Jay as anything other than a tag team wrestler, so it was pretty crazy seeing him finally win the world title in ROH. He did a post-match promo and wanted them to play his old Lynyrd Skynyrd entrance music that they weren't allowed to anymore due to copyright, and it played anyway as they thought they were off the air. It's a horrible tragedy. R.I.P.
We go to Chris, who says, didn't get a chance to watch tonight. I'll listen to the review on the morning drive. Just wanted to say rest in peace to Jay Briscoe. My thoughts go out to his friends and family. He was a hell of a performer. He will be sorely missed.
We go to Jordan Goodman, who writes in, Jay was as kind as he was believable, and I've never seen a more believable wrestler. Love to his family and friends. I know Jordan worked with Jay while he worked in Ring of Honor, and I know that's Jordan. We love you, brother.
We go to Frank, who says, shocking and sad news tonight about Jay. In hindsight, glad I spent my 40th birthday a month ago watching what turned out to be his last match, along with Cena at House of Glory. I won't forget the times I went to see him live, as well as those classics with FTR, among many others. He will be remembered forever in the business, no doubt. As for NXT, I was happy for Stax moving up in the family. Stay safe, everyone. Life is precious. Hug everyone tight while you can.
And then finally, we go to Megan, who writes in, a solid show tonight that moved things forward for Vengeance Day. The dueling interviews between Waller and Breaker did its job on both men's motivating heading into the cage in 2 weeks. The Roxanne Toxic Attraction feud took another turn as the strife began to grow between Gigi and JC. I expect Vengeance Day will be their swan song en route to a main roster call-up. Also want to give Vic Joseph his flowers for announcing Jay Briscoe's passing. It was a classy move and a good example. This regime is leading by acknowledging talent outside of WWE. Day one son, RIP Jay Briscoe. So yeah, everyone's in the same boat we are in, missing the wrestler that we watched quite often. So there you have it. That was our NXT review. But yeah, all the love out to the Briscoe family out there. I'm sure news will come out more this week by the time you're listening to this. Postwrestling.com for all the updates of all that stuff. And I know this Sunday on our show, Poison Rana, me and Davey will definitely be talking about some more Absolutely. Briscoe brothers, Jay Briscoe moments and all that stuff. So yeah, follow all our socials for updates this week of all the other podcasts of wrestling reviews and all that stuff. You can find at Poison Rana Pod on Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. And I myself, Brayden Harrington, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the Bray D.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. RIP Jay Briscoe. Reach for the sky, boy.